You got to negotiate a price. Be specific. How much for a hand job? How much for a blow job? You don't get it on tape, the DA won't prosecute.
You don't look like you're into this.
What, I'm supposed to be jumping up and down all excited about busting a massage parlor? You really think that closing down this place is going to have a major impact on your precious valley?
Hey, these people spread disease.
Hey, this is YD from the Hill Evangelist Show, and you're listening to the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network.
Hey, did I tell you guys I got a goat?
The woman who runs the place probably gave her a ticket, brought her over from some place. She's working to pay off her debt, whatever, I don't know. She is a dickhead, I agree. We should bust her, absolutely. But not this kid. Come on, she's just a victim of circumstance.
Along with the other men, Robert Kraft is charged with 2 first-degree misdemeanors. And if he is found guilty, he could be sentenced up to a year behind bars.
This is not about lonely old men or victimless crimes. This is about enabling a network of criminals to traffic women into our country for forced labor and sex.
Yeah, this investigation was not about protecting the women who worked there, by the way. You don't have a 4-month investigation if it was really about, if they thought they were trying to intervene to stop illegal, like, sex trafficking, you do that immediately. They wanted 4 months to get the big names, and that's what they got.
Little column A, little column B.
Yeah, baby! Yeah.
Oh, good morning, good evening. Let's try that again. Good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, wherever you are, whatever you do. A lot of things happening in the world today. Most of them are far beyond our control, you might say. So perhaps it's time we took a pause and thought about life, thought about the laws of gravity, means to an end, governments, Robert Kraft, the sex trade, prostitution, politics, and or the news. Don't touch that dial, just try to hear me out for a while. Well, by now you know everything there is to know about Robert Kraft and his sex spa visit, and while you may be repulsed or even outraged, the big question I have for you is, why? What is it about Bob Kraft that makes you sit up and take notice of something that is going on every single day in your city? Wherever you are, your city has the same thing. What else is new? Am I right? Here's how you get a hold of me. Text machine is area code 209-565-DAVE. That's 565-3283. The email is dave at thedavebowmanshow.com. And, of course, we're on the web, thedavebowmanshow.com and podcast99.org. Ego biberi capulis et oli viveri. I drink coffee that others might live. Just a reminder, in case you missed it at the beginning, in case you skipped through it, this is a content warning, a trigger warning such as it is. The show will contain a frank and detailed discussion of adult material, situations, language, and maybe even humor. If you are potentially offended by such discussions, do not listen to this episode. Turn it off. If you do listen and you are offended, it's your fault, as you have been properly and appropriately warned. End of discussion, as far as that goes. I know there's a lot going on in the world, India, Pakistan. This situation, however, is extraordinarily fluid. I would love to talk about this. I have my own theories about what's going on here. But even in the last hour, as I've gotten home and gotten caught up on everything that's going on, it's obvious that this situation is changing minute by minute. So I'm going to wait a day, see if that improves anything or changes anything. So I do have a lot to say. If you follow me on Facebook, you know this. There's some deep concerns that I have. Anytime you have two powers that are nuclear powered, that have weapons of mass destruction like that, you're going to have an issue. So we'll get into some of that probably tomorrow. But in the meantime, on to what I was going to do Monday, but pushed off because I didn't have the information that I needed. Now that I have the information that I need, there's a whole lot of there's a whole lot here that I want to get into. There is much I want to talk about. In my old stomping grounds of San Joaquin County, used to live in Manteca, which is right on the San Joaquin Stanislaus County border. I lived in Modesto for 10 years. I lived in Manteca for 8 years. So I know the area very well. Plus, I was a radio host there. I know it very well. The San Joaquin County Sheriff's Office on Friday put out this notice that they had proactively caught predators. Sorry, I got to conjugate some verbs there. Lathrop Police Services, several county deputies, and Manteca PD joined together and made 9 shocking arrests. Well, I doubt they were shocking arrests because we all know that this stuff is happening. A list of men below, and there's 9 of them, fell for the ruse. The 20s called. They want their word back. And wanted to meet with our fake 14-year-old decoy. They all arranged to meet the minor for sexual interaction. The detailed description of their intentions, along with evidence, is frightening. They encourage you to monitor your children's devices, phones, laptops, video game consoles, and so forth. There's no better way to protect the public and the innocence of our children than to take proactive steps to seek out these individuals before someone becomes a victim. Now, I was intrigued by that because that last sentence is critical. There is no better way to protect the public and the innocence of our children than to take proactive steps to seek out these individuals before someone becomes a victim is a mouthful, isn't it? There's a lot in that sentence. There really is. But there's some issues there, aren't there? Proactively seek out people who have not committed a crime as yet to protect our individuals. Now, the libertarian element in my body kind of goes, well, as I said the other day, my libertarian sphincter puckers at that. But I come back to that with the fact that there's no victim here. This was all a ruse, as the 1920s almost said dicks would have said. But, you know, you get the idea. There's no actual victim here. The men went on the internet. They used it for nefarious purposes. They arranged to meet what they believed was a 14-year-old child for sexual interaction. And then they followed through on that by going to that meeting. Had they not followed through on it, there's no crime. The fact that they went there with the intention of doing so, however, makes it a crime. And while it is not the same as a crime of actuality having sex with a 14-year-old, it shows some pretty good intent, and I'm okay with the idea that we are proactively, I guess is the word, seeking that out. Now, again, I have some issue with it. I'm not absolutely certain that I'm not absolutely sure that this is the best use of policing authority, powers, and finances. But again, I can't personally rationalize my way around the fact that they went on the internet, they met what they thought was a 14-year-old intentionally, they had the intention of doing so, they went there with the intention of doing that, and had that been your 14-year-old child, they would have proceeded with that. And my discomfort with it is overcome by my revulsion at these individuals. That's one element of all this. A similar thing happened in Salt Lake City last year. They arrested like 18 or 19 of them. And these people are serving time or having paid their debt to society. They are removed from among us for a certain amount of time. And hopefully that then will convince them never to do this again. I doubt it. I firmly believe that pedophiles are not, they're not curable. They're not. And so that's why we're battling this level 3 sex offender house here in Polsbo, as you see behind me there. There's this element to it that creates that tension between rights and societal protection. And I acknowledge the fact that the majoritarian rights to be free of dangers like this, criminals, do play a role in this. And we do have some social responsibility to prevent this from happening. And if, as uncomfortable as I am with this, they went there. If they hadn't gone there, nothing would have happened. But they went there. And had that been a 14-year-old child, we would have had a bigger problem. In all of this to say that as we've watched this story break, I stand by 2 things that I've said recently. Number one, if you want to end prostitution in this country, and I don't believe that we really do, but if you do want to end it, you end it by focusing on the Johns. You get rid of the Johns, whether that's through arresting them or driving them off. Some years ago, I was the business administrator for the Salvation Army in Modesto, California, and we had a warehouse that was located just off South 9th Street in Modesto, California. Now, those of you that are from there will know what I mean when I say South 9th Street. South 9th Street was not a place you went after sundown unless you were looking for one of three things. There was the biggest gay bar in the county was there, so you could go there for that. You were looking for drugs, specifically methamphetamine, or you were looking for a prostitute. Those are the only three reasons you would be in that area. So if you went to the gay bar, you were at the gay bar. If you were anywhere else on South 9th Street, you were assumed to be doing one of the other two things. I mean, that's really the only reason to go there, unless the alarm goes off at your warehouse down there. And because the way the sheriff had set up the alarm systems in Stanislaus County at the time, they would respond to a false alarm, but they would bill you for it. And it was enough of a billing that when you're running a nonprofit, you need that money for other things. And so we put our alarm systems on all of our buildings at the time. And this was, 15 years ago, so I doubt it's this way anymore. But we would put our alarms on. We would respond to them, and then, if need be, we would call the law enforcement officials. So, the alarm went off the warehouse. Our warehouse manager was out of town on vacation or something, and so I got in my Jeep, and I drove from the north side of town where I lived and down to South 9th Street. It was probably midnight, 1 in the morning, on a Friday night, of course. So, as I roll into South 9th Street, of course, the place is packed. There are prostitutes walking up and down the streets, both sides. There are people who are obviously dealing drugs. I mean, it's not even hidden. And, of course, the Brave Bull parking lot is full, and I had to turn right. Coming that way, I had to turn right at the Brave Bull and go down two blocks to our warehouse. So as I'm going down there, I get down observing all of this. And really, this was the first time I'd been down there after sunset. I'd been to my warehouse a lot, but not after dark. I mean, I'd never had a reason to go down there after dark. So I go to the warehouse. Of course, it's a false alarm. I reset the whole thing, close everything up, and I'm leaving. And as I'm leaving, I come out the street there, and I turn left back onto 9th Street to get back. You could go right, but then you can't get on the highway going north, which is where I want to go. You got to go highway going south, or you got to make that hatch U-turn, and I hate that. So I'm going to go back up 9th Street to downtown Modesto, get on the highway at B Street, and go home. And as I'm pulling out there, I get pulled over. Didn't do anything. I just get pulled over. Police officer, very nice, Stanislaus County Sheriff guy, come up and license, registration, please. And this is prior to my libertarian rebirth, and so I handed them over to him, and he says, "What are you doing here?" And so I handed him my business card, and I said, "We just had an alarm at the warehouse, and you probably heard it on your radio and then heard the do not respond call. And so I came down to clear the alarm, and now I'm going home." And he looked at me and he said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Why else would I be here?" And he kind of chuckled and he says, "Look around, man." I said, "I know, but, I'm not here for that. I'm here for this other stuff, and I'm leaving as fast as I can. I don't want to be any part of this." It was just a general assumption that if you were in that area, you were there for a reason, and that reason was not good. And if you've ever been to South 9th Street in Modesto, or 25th Street in Ogden, or, Rush Street in Chicago, or wherever, you know what I'm talking about. These places exist. They're in your community right now. There's some place, I guarantee you, in your community, unless you live in, Delphi, Indiana or something, They're in your town too. Hell, I went to Billings, Montana one time. They have the same thing going there. Now you have these, when California California did something funky with the rules on massages. And so now you've got these Asian massage parlors popping up in every strip mall in the country, or in California anyway, probably in the country. And you drive by them, and it says day spa massage, and now we got one at the mall here. So, it's like, well, we all know what it is. When we were back on the radio back in 2011, 2012, we were joking about it because they busted the one in Riverbank, another little town in our area. And we were joking about, you know, the Clear Channel should give us $1,000 to go investigate this and really break the story. And they wouldn't do it. But you know, there you go. And so these pollers are popping up everywhere. They're here. They're oddly enough, and this is really weird. My cousin and I were talking about it's strange that Bremerton, which is a huge Navy town, doesn't seem to have that many. In fact, I think there's one when I was doing research for this. But you get outside of Bremerton and it's a little more prevalent. And so it's no big surprise then that Florida has them as well. And in these strip malls, you get these miniature businesses that pop up as spas. And of course, unless you're living under a rock or you're completely naive, we all know what we're talking about here. Rub and tug joints. That's what they are. They are massages. They're prostitution rings fronting as massage parlors. That's all they are. And for whatever reason, and I'm sorry, I have no practical experience in this, but for whatever reason, men seem to like them. Maybe it's the combination of the massage with whatever, but I don't have any practical experience, so I can't really tell you that. And so the story breaks, and Robert Kraft is the name, which is the second thing I said. Number one was, if you want to get rid of prostitutions, you have to go after the Johns. But number two is, the only reason you care about this story at all is because it's Bob Kraft. If it wasn't Bob Kraft, nobody would care about this story at all. Not a person. They keep telling us, oh, there's a bigger name involved. There's a bigger name involved. No, there isn't. If there was, it would have been, believe me, it would have been leaked by now. There isn't. Bob Kraft, of course, is hated. Universally, he is hated by Americans of all stripes for the sole reason. I've never understood this. Bob Kraft is one of those, he's a very successful man. Do you understand that? He's a guy, he's a self-built man. He's a man who started small, built his business, made the right decisions. One of the things I most admire about Bob Kraft is, like, unlike most people in his position, he understands his own limits. He understands that he is not a football coach or even a general manager. And so he hires people that he trusts to do that, and he lets them do it. In the words of his one-time coach, he lets them buy the groceries and cook the meal. That impresses me as a business-type guy. That really, there are owners out there who don't do that, and you could probably name a few. Bob Kraft is, in many ways, the epitome of the American dream. But he's not perfect. He's a human being. And because he's built this dynasty that is the New England Patriots, people hate him. They hate the Patriots. They hate his coach. They hate his quarterback. They hate him. And so when he gets caught going to a rub and tub joint in Florida, which is where he lives, boy, there's this joy that people are expressing, this almost neener, look, that billionaire guy got caught going to a tug joint, and he's a dirtbag. I hate him, and now we know why. We know he's just a creepy old man. Maybe he is, maybe he ain't. I don't know him personally. I really don't. I have no idea what he's going through. I don't know what his life is. I know his wife passed away a couple years ago. I know he's not cheating on her. I know that he's probably got more stress than I do. Probably got more stress than everybody listening to this put together. I mean, the guy's running a $1 billion business. I'm not excusing what he did. What I'm saying is, if the only reason you care about this story at all is because of Bob Kraft, you're a hypocrite, because it's happening in your town too. Not even 5 miles from where I'm sitting right now are at least 3 of these places, and I guarantee you they're open today. And if you were to drive by it, my barber shop happens to be right next door to one. You can sit in the barber chair at my place and watch guys come and go. So don't tell me that somehow or another, this is what sets you off. This is the moment. Bob Kraft is the creepy guy that's going to make you go, ooh, this is happening? Oh, my God, I didn't know. If you didn't know, it's because your head's buried in the sand and because you don't want to know. Happened in Riverbank. It happens in Oakdale. It happens in Modesto. It happens in Manteca. It happens in Stockton. It happens in Seattle. It happens in Portland. It happens in Los Angeles. It happens in Delphi, Indiana. So let's get off our high horse about, oh, my, we didn't know anything until Bob Kraft was suddenly arrested for this. But then when you start looking at this arrest, when you start looking at this whole story, there are some things here that do not set well with me. Take the morality out of it. Take the issue of the morality out of it. And I agree. If you're going to stop prostitution, you have to go after the Johns. I get that. If you really want to stop prostitution, arrest the Johns. No demand for the product. No product to be demanded. I get it. I'm with you there. The question comes in, and what tactics do we use to do that? How do we take that approach? In San Joaquin County, as I talked about last week, they pretended to be a 14-year-old on the internet and lured men using a ruse, by their own admission, using a ruse to lure people into the potential of committing a crime and then arresting them for showing up, right? I mean, we're all kind of agreed that that's pretty much what happened. In Florida, however, we're learning a few things about what happened that, again, make my libertarian sphincters, all of them, pucker. Number one, I was listening the day the story broke. John Clayton was talking about it on ESPN radio, and he was talking about the fact that, well, he was arrested. This really looks bad. The NFL is going to do this thing. And then he, in almost in passing, he said, the police say they have video evidence of this, and the NFL may use this to, you know, force him to sell his team or step away and blah, 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 blah. And nobody reacted in any way, shape, or form to that statement that the police had video evidence of this. And as I said the other day, that set off a bell in my head. What do you mean the police have video evidence of this? Well, it turns out they do. They have video evidence of him entering the place, giving the woman a bill, at least $100 bill. The other bill, quote, is not identifiable. Her performing a sexual act upon him and then him giving her a hug and another bill and leaving. This is the evidence video that they have. And the question that I had when I heard that before, and this is what I was talking about on Monday when I was talking about the fact that I wasn't ready to talk about it yet. From whence does that evidence come? Who took that video? Why does it matter? Why does it matter who took that video? Well, ends and means, or means and ends, as it were. Once upon a time, Leon Trotsky was a name you should know. If you don't, Google him. Leon Trotsky was a communist, a dedicated communist. He was a compatriot of Vladimir Ilyich Ulyanov, better known as Lenin. And he said, the end may justify the means as long as there is something that justifies the end. His implication here is, anything is okay as long as you get the outcome you want. And if you get the outcome you want, well, you can use whatever means you want, even if it's pretending to be a 14-year-old on the internet until you get, you know, the guys you want caught, right? That's kind of the approach here. And while we're all sitting here going, well, the police, I can hear you. You're already typing your emails. I can hear you typing them. But Dave, these women were being sex trafficked. These women had been kidnapped against their will, brought to the United States, and were being forced to commit up to 8 sex acts a day with terrible hygiene, according to the district attorney. And we had to do something because these women were in so much danger. That's what we're told. And of course, if they say that to you, how do you possibly then go, oh my God, well, Robert Kraft, who again, how would he know that they were being sex trafficked? You're going to have to prove that he knew that. And I don't think you can. Even if he did, how do you prove that he knew that these women were being sex trafficked? How do you prove that? How do you prove what somebody knew? Unless he wrote in his diary on his way to, you know, the AFC Championship game, stopping by the day spa to enjoy the pleasures of a sex slave before I head home. All of those things, you know, are potential possibilities, but I doubt seriously he's dumb enough to write that in his day timer or whatever he uses. He's not that. You don't get to be a billionaire owner in the NFL by being stupid, folks. You just don't. And so here we go. The approach becomes, we're told over and over again, as the DA said, top of the show, this isn't about a lonely old man. This is about sex trafficking. This is about saving the victims of the sex trafficking. And to a degree, it's turning out that of the 125, as it stands right now, as of this recording, 125 arrest warrants have been issued. Only 25 of those are for sex trafficking. The rest are the Johns. Okay. The problem comes in how far can the government go to get what it wants? Louis Brandeis was a Supreme Court justice once upon a time. And he wrote this: to declare that in the administration of criminal law, the end justifies the means, to declare that the government may commit crimes in order to secure a conviction of a private criminal would bring a terrible retribution. I'm just going to let that sink in for just a moment or two. What Brandeis is saying here is, if we're really going to allow the government to commit crimes so that it can prosecute criminals and convict criminals that it has made criminals, we're headed down a really bad street there. We're headed down South 9th Street in Modesto at 1:30 on a Friday or Saturday morning, Friday night, because we're creating criminals that we can then prosecute and wave the white flag above the district attorney saying, see how great I am. I'm protecting victims here. That's what he's doing. Right? Sex trafficked victims. Well, here's my question. If you knew that someone was being sex trafficked, if you knew that, what would your immediate reaction be? I can tell you what mine would be, because once upon a time we had to do this. We immediately contacted law enforcement, said this person is being sex trafficked. We need help. And we pushed and pushed and pushed until the police came and got that person out of that situation immediately. What we didn't do was conduct a 4 to 6 month fishing investigation to see how many people we could get to come to the day spa so that we could fine each one of them upwards of $5,000, probably more because, you know, there are going to be court fees and all that on top of it. That then goes into our county coffers as we use this for revenue enhancement and then say, oh, it's about protecting the victims. If it was about protecting the victims, you would have ended it immediately instead of setting off on a 4 to 6 months. There are differing reports as to how long they continued this, where they went in, where the police went in and set up the video cameras. This wasn't the massage parlor. This was the police sneaking in, setting up video cameras to videotape crimes being committed that they said there was a victim of, that they did nothing to help for 4 to 6 months. You okay with that? Robert Kraft is a creepy old guy who went to a massage parlor, did things that I probably wouldn't approve of and agree with. But I'm enough of a libertarian to say that if it's her decision, it's her decision. And if the police were really concerned about these women, they would have done something a hell of a lot sooner than that. But they didn't, which means they didn't really care about anything other than who can we catch? I gotta go. Take the time right now. Tell the people that matter in your life you love them very much. You'd miss them if they weren't there. So don't pass up those opportunities. You don't want to have that regret. Plausibly Live, I'm Dave Bowman. And we'll see you next time right here on The Dave Bowman Show on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. Check us out at thedavebowmanshow.com. See you later, everybody. Have a great day.
The Dave Bowman Show is a Slippery Fish Entertainment production for the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. For more information or to complain about how the show offended you, the text or voicemail number is 209-565-DAVE. For more information about the show, log on to thedavebowmanshow.com.
Hey, I'm going to go do something productive. I'm going to go watch television.